10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
D-Mace, Vingen and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. Let's go to our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, and welcome in Sportsnet NHL insider Elliot Freeman, who is presented each week by Old National Bank and Green Ventures Landscaping. Elliot, I heard what you said on your podcast this week about how you're taking it personally, that you have not been able to crack the code of the Predators GM search, and now I'm just imagining you as that meme of Michael Jordan from The Last Dance.
I took that personally. Yes, that's definitely true. Well, it was funny. Somebody called me this week, and they said that Bill Haslam wasn't happy at the beginning how much of it was coming out, so he's enjoying the fact that he's torturing me for a change.
Any new information since your podcast published on Wednesday?
So, I don't think so. I mean, the one thing I do know for sure is that there was at least one or two more people that they were planning on talking to. And I know that there was some speculation this week about Darren York, who I was really happy to see get an interview after 17 years in Carolina. I don't believe that's true. I do believe they had interest in Ryan Johnson, who was hired as the GM in Vancouver today, since he makes Tennessee his off-season home. But, you know, obviously that's off the table. So I'm still trying to figure out if there's another person they're waiting to talk to. You know, I'll say this. There's been a couple of people around the NHL at the World Championships said they heard some rumors about Mark Bergevin. Unless that's new, I didn't get that sense early. So that would have to be like, it definitely wasn't trending that way before. I don't know if I buy it right now, but it's definitely making its, I had two or three people who were overseas said they heard some rumors about it. And, you know, he's with Buffalo, who's still playing, but I don't know. That would be a change. That's all I would say. That would be a change from where they initially were.
As you know, Elliot, because of how long this search has been taking, we've been filling time with as many theories as we can come up with. And here's one for you. A few weeks ago on Hockey Night in Canada, you reported the Predators sought permission to interview Hurricanes GM Eric Tolsky and were denied by the Hurricanes. Is it possible that this person or persons they're waiting to speak to is a current GM of a playoff team?
I have wondered about that. I just don't know who it would be. I guess anything is possible. And like I said, I have no problem with how long this has taken. Like, I actually agree with Haslam on this one. Apparently he said, we have time and we have to get this right. I think he's right about that. I mean, I have wondered that, but, you know, it was funny. I was talking about this with somebody else the other day, Adam. It was like, we were going through names and we were saying, do you think it could be this guy or do you think it could be that guy? And the guy said to me, can you imagine the chaos that you would cause if you guessed one of these names, like on your podcast or on the air? So I laughed and I said, there's no chance I'm doing it unless I know for sure. Believe me, we've wondered about all of this stuff, all of it.
I do want your opinion on what people are saying around the league about how long this has taken, because I hear what you're saying. I hear what Bill Haslam is saying. The Predators are going to take as long as they need to get this right. But when you talk to people around the NHL, do they mention the length of the search? Do they say, this is taking longer than I thought?
Yes. I definitely hear that. I definitely hear that. It's like, what are they doing? I have heard that. And the other thing, too, that is really unusual about it is that you know, somebody was saying, you know, maybe they don't want to speak to a current assistant of a team that's playing right now. And we all thought it was weird because they've had permission to speak to a lot of these people in the past. So it didn't really make a lot of sense to all of us. Like, there, I mean, so I don't, like, I think the simplest answer really is, Adam, that they interviewed a lot of people, and I think they thought some people were pretty good. And I think some people had good interviews with them, and they were interested in getting to know them a little bit better. But I don't know that there was anybody that really grabbed Bill Haslam and made him say, I absolutely have to 100% hire this person at this time. And sometimes I think it's like the simplest answer is the real answer. And that's my working theory right now, that there were people who impressed him and there were people he liked, but there was nobody who made him say, I have to hire this person right now at this time.
We're talking with Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast. Now, Elliot, we know that there's, you know, no tampering when it comes to players, especially those
never,
that are under
contract. Never happens.
I know
it never happens.
Ever
in the
but you're
of
not
the
you're not supposed to do that while they're under contract.
That's right.
What is the procedure when it comes to GMs? Because if it's true that the Predators asked for permission to talk to the Hurricanes GM and they said no, if he's still under contract past this season, do they still get are allowed to interview him? It seemed like it would almost be a lateral move.
You can ask, like Derek. You can ask for permission to talk to anybody. There's nothing wrong with that. But once they say no to someone who's under contract, there's nothing you can do about it. As a matter of fact, there's pretty serious penalties if you take a contract with another team if you're employed by one. Like the new GM of the Maple Leafs, John Chyka, he was suspended for trying to interview with New Jersey when he was in Arizona. And the, a guy who's in the Hall of Fame now, Pat Quinn, he was the coach of the LA Kings in the 80s, and he agreed to be the new GM of the Vancouver Canucks while he was coaching the Kings, and he got suspended for a year. So there are pretty big penalties for that. You can't, Derek, if you're under contract and team says no, you better listen or you're in, if they catch you, you're in big trouble.
Now, with that being said, Elliot, if we all know that, why would it then be, you know, the Predator waiting someone else's GM? Because if that is indeed the case, what if the team again says, nope, we're not, especially a team in the playoffs. Hey, listen, we're doing good. We don't want to change our GM. So wouldn't you think that, at least from a GM standpoint, they already have their guy in mind that they're going to hire, a guy that is not under contract with another team.
And they're waiting on something else. I think it's always possible, Derek. I mean, if it's a current GM, like the one thing I do know, Derek, and you've been around pro sports long enough to know this, is there's no tampering, but there's always like, okay, let's just say Derek Mason was the GM of the Titans, and you wanted to talk to a guy who's, say, the coach of the Eagles, okay? Well, you might know somebody who is friendly with that coach of the Eagles, and you might call them and say, hey, you think that guy would be interested in our job, or should I not even bother? Like, that kind of stuff, I think, happens all the time, and it should. Like, I mean, you should be collecting information like that. So I think it's still, like, it's possible that they know something about some candidate out there that we don't know. So you wait. And I think it's possible that that is the truth.
Elliot Friedman is with us. So, Elliot, along those lines, is it standard when all GM contracts expire? Is it on June 30th, or could it just as easily be May 15th or something for a particular person?
I think usually what happens is you wait until the end of their season. Now, NHL contracts all end on June 30th. The NHL year is July 1st to June 30th. So if your contract is up somewhere, it technically expires on June 30th. But you could always be in a situation where if you want to talk to somebody when their season ends, or well, Nashville talked to a whole bunch of people during the season, but they had permission to do it. Now you'd wait until the end of their season, or if their contract's up at the end of the year, a team could say you've got to wait until June 30th or July 1st.
So we're theorizing on how you would arrive or at somebody that is still working but wants the job, or maybe has had back channel conversations contractually to get around these things.
Or maybe they're just waiting. Maybe they're just waiting. I'm trying to figure out if they've hired somebody who's working for another team and they're waiting. That's another thing we've been doing, is just waiting to see, you know, who it could be. But the one thing I did hear this week, before Ryan Johnson was hired, because I definitely think he was on their radar, if he didn't get the Vancouver job, was that they were still waiting to talk to somebody else.
So, Elliot, speaking of permission, what an interesting chain of events involving Bruce Cassidy and yeah. That coming out, putting the Edmonton Oilers kind of behind the eight ball, and now they have fired their coach and Chris Knobloch. So where does that go from here, and where does Cassidy go?
Well, the thing I heard, the last I checked earlier today, Bruce Cassidy still didn't have permission to talk to anybody. And Willie, I think there's a few things. I think ultimately he will be. I think I'd heard that maybe the Golden Knights wanted to wait until their playoff series with Anaheim was over. They're playing game six tonight. You know, also, I think the Golden Knights are playing some head games with some people, too. So I think all of this is a factor. I think ultimately they'll get permission to talk to him. I think L.A. is very interested in him, too, Willie. So I think that's a problem. They're going to have to compete with L.A. for the job. And I think the other thing, too, is they've really backed themselves into a corner, because they have to get him now. Like, they wanted to keep this private, and I think they only wanted to fire Knobloch if they got someone better. Well, it got out. It forced their hand. And now Cassidy's going to have a lot of leverage in Edmonton. I wish I had this much leverage in my next contract negotiation, but they got a lot of leverage from him.
Now, can Vegas do it simply to block a good coach, a winning coach, from going to a division rival?
It's rare. Like, Willie, I was looking for other situations where this has happened. There aren't a lot of them. Vegas, a couple years ago, blocked their AHL head coach, twice from taking NHL assistant jobs. So there is some history in the organization of doing it, but it's rare, very rare. And we'll see where it goes. Vegas, they're willing to do some things that other teams won't do. I think there's a couple of factors here. Number one, like I said, they're still playing. And number two, I think also, you know, Cassidy makes $4.5 million. And there's a mechanism in the NHL that you have to, like, if you hire someone who's being paid by another team, you can't just pay the guy $1. You've got to pay him a market rate. So I've also heard that Vegas might want assurances that if someone hires Cassidy, they won't owe him anything. And so I just think there's a little bit of mental gymnastics here. They have them under contract. They're well within their right to do it. But I'll just say this, guys. It almost never happens.
Now, Elliot, with Game 5 coming up tonight, Buffalo and Montreal, we have to know if you've gotten your hands on one of these beer savers that's being hawked on eBay for like $300 a pop, this piece of plastic, whatever you put 20 ounces of beer in. These things are a hot commodity now all of a sudden. Did you get one?
They are. So I'll tell you, after game number one, we were doing a stand-up. Sabres won that game. And I asked the fan if I could borrow theirs. And they looked at me and said, "You're going to give it back, right?" And I said, I will give it back. So I used it as a prop, but I had to return it.
That is a bummer that you couldn't grab that thing and bootleg it down your pant leg or something, because I guess they'll be flowing freely in this game tonight. What a great series that's becoming.
Yeah, it's really good hockey. It's interesting that Sabres have spent the last two days complaining about diving and embellishment for Montreal. So even the players were telling me today the coaches haven't stopped complaining about it in Buffalo. So we'll see what we'll see if they get any calls like that this evening. Going to be a great game. You know, we're about 15 minutes away from going on the air for our pregame. Game's in 45 minutes. Like, it's already, like, you can feel the energy in this building tonight. It's fantastic.
Quickly, Elliot, before we let you go for your pregame duties, where do the Minnesota Wild go from here this offseason after a devastating elimination loss last night?
Well, you know what, Adam? Like that Colorado team, you know, I don't know if you're an Avengers movie guy, but what did Thanos say? Like, I'm inevitable? Like, they look inevitable right now. Like, they just...
They do.
Like, you know, like I thought Minnesota played pretty well, but they just got... They got beat. Like, that team... You know, everybody has injuries. They had two big ones. Erickson Ek, the center, being out really hurt them, because that's where Colorado is super deep down the middle. They're just too good. And I think the biggest thing is, look, I think they'll go out and they'll try to find another center. I don't think there's any question about that. But those are really hard to find. I think the number one thing is, can they get Quinn Hughes extended, who they traded for this year? Until I'm proven wrong, Adam, I say it extends for 3 years.
Okay. Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, has been our guest on D-Mace, Ving, and Adonic. He joins us every Thursday and is presented by Old National Bank and Green Ventures Landscaping. Elliot, as always, a pleasure. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll catch up next week.
All right, guys. Thanks very much. Have a great week. And I'm not finished with you yet, Predators. I got to figure this out.
Thank you, Elliot. 615-737-1025. We will react to what Elliot had to say. There was a name he mentioned in there that some Predators fans on our text line are not happy about. We'll get to that next and wrap up the show. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. We are at First Horizon Park. Sounds versus Cubs. First pitch at 6:35. You can catch all of the action on 94.9 The Fan coming up. In just a few moments, Vanderbilt baseball takes on Louisville at Hawkins Field. First pitch is coming up. Not Louisville, I'm sorry. Why does it say Louisville? It says Louisville on the thing. It's not Louisville. It's South Carolina. Oh, well. Game's coming up.
It's coming up.
There's a game coming up. The Vanderbilt Commodores are playing someone. they're playing South Carolina. The read says Louisville. So I'm going to blame it on the read. That's okay.
Blame it on the read.
That's okay. We appreciate Elliot Freeman, as always, joining us on the program, as you said, like Michael Jordan in The Last Dance. He's taking it personally that he can't crack the code. But something tells me Elliot will eventually figure it out. What I thought was funny, guys, was when Elliot mentioned he had heard some rumors from the World Championship that Mark Bergevin, former Canadiens GM, could be involved. Mm-hmm. We had one texter say, if it's Bergevin, I will demand a fan trade. We had another commenter say, the protest at 501 Broadway from my apartment in Vancouver. That's how far Predemption on our YouTube chat would travel to protest the hiring of Mark Bergevin. I don't know what the problem would be with Mark Bergevin. He was a successful GM in Montreal.
To a point.
To a degree.
He took a lot of heat, just like every GM who eventually loses his job. But my question back to these people who have a particular problem with the GM who just got fired fairly recently. Are you writing off every GM? Like, who would be the GM who has experience that you would take that's available right now? Because no GM is going to bat 1,000, right? And everybody's going to emphasize what got that person fired in Montreal or in New Jersey, whatever. So I would throw that out there. Would you take Bergevin over Tom Fitzgerald?
Yes.
You would?
I would.
Because why?
I think he has a longer track record of success. I believe he took 6 teams to the playoffs in 10 years. I think he's got a better drafting record than Tom Fitzgerald. He's had more cracks at it, for context. But to me, if I'm looking at the two resumes, I would say Bergevin has been a more successful NHL GM than Tom Fitzgerald. So if you're asking me to pick between the two, I would pick Bergevin over Tom Fitzgerald.
So he has not been a GM since 2021.
Yes, he worked for the Kings, I want to say.
Yes.
And now he's with Buffalo in some capacity, working with Jarmo Kekalainen with the Sabres.
Correct.
So he's bounced around the league a little bit, but he hasn't been in the big chair in, as you said, about 5 years. But he was on one end of the PK Subban for Shea Weber trade.
He was.
And that worked out to an extent. It'll be funny to look back on that trade. Well, we could probably look back on it now because both players are retired.
That is a really interesting one to go through. I don't know if anybody won the trade. I think both sides got a lot of what they were looking for.
I would agree. I mean, I would. Shea
Weber's contract still exists, which is really the only reason why they made that trade anyway.
Yes. I think PK Subban had more individual success than Shea Weber when he was with the Predators. He was a Norris Trophy finalist, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
1 year he was here. And, of course, the Predators won the President's Trophy, went to the Stanley Cup Final, but Shea Weber also went to the Stanley Cup Final.
Well, he was there for 3 years. They went Stanley Cup Final, President's Trophy.
Division winner, right?
Division winner.
Right.
I mean, those are the three best Predator teams ever. So
Matt,
PK Subban did well for the Preds. And then the following year, then they traded him, right?
Yes.
And
the
they traded his contract. So that was, I guess, good mileage for what they got from Subban, and then it ended by trading his contract. They didn't get a whole lot for it, but they offloaded the whole contract, whereas the reason that they were concerned about Shea Weber was
his health.
His health and the contract. He was older than PK.
Yes.
Although PK's health, ironically, declined pretty quick.
It did.
After he left the Predators, so they got off the ride at the perfect time in terms of his career arc. They got three productive seasons out of him and then traded him. But the reason they even considered trading a great player like Shea Weber was because of the contract. It was going to be sitting on somebody's shoulders for so long, so getting that off the books was everything.
Don't disrespect Steven Santini, Willie Donick. He was a part of that Devils Predators trade.
And Jeremy Davies.
Yes. It was a cap dump. And then the Predators.
Second round pick in there somewhere.
The Predators used that money towards signing Matt Duchene.
Right.
That offseason.
Which they wouldn't. Yeah, that was the strategy.
Yes. So the NFL schedule, the releases, it's coming up. Maybe at the top of the hour, I think. But as we have discussed throughout the show, the Titans are reportedly opening the season at home against the New York Jets. All right, let's go around the table quickly.
Yes.
Let's make one fun prediction about the Titans' schedule. I'll go first. The final home game at Nissan Stadium, the old Nissan Stadium, will be against the Indianapolis Colts. That's my prediction. I'll call it a fun prediction. Thank you, David. The final home game at Nissan Stadium will be against the Indianapolis Colts.
And what will be at stake in that game?
Draft position?
Oh, wow. Goodness.
I don't know. These last few years, there have been, and, you know, every team has got some years where not much is going on at the end of the year if you're out of it. But, man, that stadium in late December or early January, with not much on the line, where it's cold, that is just not an appealing place to go.
Do you think people, that final home game, when that final home game at the old Nissan Stadium is approaching, I know you've got the shiny new one right behind it, and we've complained about the shape of old Nissan Stadium for years, but do you think people will get the warm and fuzzies?
No.
Okay. Period.
Not about the stadium.
Period.
Now, if they're having a good year and they've won some games and they have something at stake, that will
be
change
different.
It.
Yeah,
but for the stadium itself, I don't think there'll be any of that.
Well, I guess
this is because of what the Titans have put into it, which is nothing.
I think there will be a sentimental value Because we're, what, 2 years off, two seasons off, this season and then next season, then they move, I believe.
Well, no, this is the final season of old Nissan Stadium.
Yes.
Yes.
Is it?
Supposed to be.
No,
yeah.
It's 25, 26.
They're supposed to open it. It's supposed to be ready in the
2027.
Yes, early 2027.
Okay.
Yes. So they've given themselves a cushion to be ready for the fall of 27. So that it's supposed to be ready by
yes. Then. I've been under the impression this whole time that this is the last season of old Nissan Stadium.
Unless something crazy happens, which you never know, with the construction of the new place.
But I think there will be, you know, a sentimental value for those that have been true diehard Titan fans. Those that have, you know, good through bad, they've come to that stadium and they supported the team. I think there will be a sentimental value to it. There will be one for me. You know, as a player, and I'm sure, you know, players that played in that stadium will feel that way. Here's my fun one. The Titans are, because we talked
the
about.
The Titans will have 11 primetime games.
No, we talked about, you know, the differential rest time and all that other stuff. The Titans will play two games this year, back to back, where the team that they're playing don't have as much rest.
Coming off a short week. A stretch of consecutive games.
Yes.
Where the Titans will be facing an opponent coming off a short week.
Yes.
Okay. Willie, you got
something
one for us?
Something fun about the schedule.
Which would benefit the Titans.
It would. They had a bad net rest differential last year.
I just thought of that one too, Willie, as we were talking. So,
do you think in the last game at the stadium that people will want to, like, grab a piece of memorabilia with, like, be ripping the seat out of the
a toilet seat?
Will they try to do that? A toilet seat? You know, there's always that random person you run into that has a piece of something.
Uh-huh.
Whether it's a piece of the
turf. How they going to get it out the stadium,
it's a piece of the.
How they going to get it out the stadium?
I mean, they're going to be tearing it down anyway. Might as well help them out.
Are they going to do that? Yeah.
Okay.
Goalposts.
All right. I've got another fun question about the NFL schedule release.
But what would you take from the Nissan Stadium? Would there be something you would want?
I would grab one of those signs. I grab a sign, like one of those small signs. Enter here, I grab one of those. And
One of those Nissan trucks that I can drive off
faded,
the lot.
With the faded paint and everything that they have that's been there since 1998 or 99.
That's a relic.
That's actually not a bad idea.
Yeah.
I'll take one of the Nissan trucks that's, you know, for display. I'll drive that off the lot for her.
Here's another fun thing. Amy Adams will allow the former players last game of the season to come in and get what they want. As far as
that's
like
a good seat
they or something in the locker room. You know, former guys that have played there, come and get to hear something. Or eventually, maybe not right after the season has ended, the last game, but eventually she will say, hey, we got a little parting gift for all those that have played here.
What would be your best visual, like, when you remember that stadium, what would it be about the stadium?
Oh, man.
Because you played when it was newer. It was a better, much better vibe than
it was a much better vibe. For me, it would be something in the locker room, like the locker. But there are many guys that have come through there or whatnot. But we were that Super Bowl team, so I just think, you know, we should get first dibs whatever she's giving out. So that would be
mine. It was pretty nice, those first few years.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Like, the locker room was nice and new. So I would like a locker. I can actually put that in my basement.
That's a great idea.
You know?
One more question about the schedule release tonight. How many of the Patriots' opponents will make fun of Mike Vrabel and Diana Russini in their schedule release videos?
Okay, so there's 17 opponents.
Yes.
Well,
some
14.
Of them, yes, because some of them repeat.
Division. So that would take 14. So what's the over-under? What would we set? Over-under 3.5? 4.5?
I'm going to say.
I mean, it's low-hanging fruit. You have to try to do something, right?
I'm going to say 4.5. Over-under 4.5. Okay.
But it's all going to come within
form,
the division.
In some form.
It's all going to come within the division.
Well, that's 3 right there.
Yes.
I can't see it coming outside of the division. Like, what teams, like, you would only do that to your rival.
You have to try to come up with something clever. Like, tastefully.
Uh-huh.
But you would spend some time on it.
Here
I'm sure the staffs would be getting together.
Quickly, here are the Patriots' opponents Bills, Dolphins, Jets,
the
obviously.
Bills and Jets, automatic.
Oh, definitely.
Okay, come on. Okay, hold on. Broncos, Packers, Raiders, Vikings, Steelers, Bears, Lions, Chiefs. Oh, they're playing the Chargers. The Chargers are absolutely going to
Chargers,
it.
Yes.
The Seahawks and the Jaguars.
Denver may, because they beat Denver in the playoffs, minus their quarterback. But Denver may. But I could see the division teams. Yeah, I could see them taking it.
The Chargers. The Chargers will absolutely do
Denver
it.
Denver has
oh,
to.
Oh, Jim Harbaugh? Oh, man. He's going to make sure y'all put something in there.
Maybe that clip finds its way into
exactly.
One of these
don't do. And then they show him and Diana together.
Yes. Well, you saw what Inside the NBA did on the ESPN a few weeks ago, right? Put him on the Titanic.
You didn't see that?
Like Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet on the front of the ship, right? So we'll
That's
see.
When it started.
We'll see how many teams poke fun at that in their schedule release videos. When we come on the air tomorrow at 3, we'll break down the Titans schedule. Special guest, Jeff Fisher on the program tomorrow. Derek Mason's a part of the Nashville Cats game on Saturday. Honorary captain with
Kevin Dyson.
So Jeff Fisher will join the program. Chad Withrow of Outkick will join the program. Willie hopefully will be celebrating a Denison Big Red win.
Oh, he will.
To open the NCAA tournament. But we will be back with you tomorrow at 3 p.m. We will talk to you then.
Be love, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful Thursday. I love you. The team loves you. You hear that music, don't you forget about us, because we will not forget about you. We will be back on these airs tomorrow at 3 p.m. on 102.5. And as I say, we're going to be talking.
And y'all will be listening.
Absolutely. So see ya. Peace.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.